It's a bird. It's a plane. It's an FAA outage. Market to children, straight to jail. Spy on your users, straight to jail. And snow days are gone, but cyber incident days are here. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
Today's episode of MSP Dispatch is brought to you by Cyber Drains Capture the Flag, a CTF oriented at system administrators and engineers instead of cybersecurity experts. This event is designed to test the skills of everyone in the MSP space so that they can show off what they can do. Beginning February 14th, 2023, with no cost to enter, anyone anywhere in the world is welcome to join up to 1,000 players. And to get an idea of the amazing prizes up for grabs, take a look at last year's awards, including a streamer starter pack, a PS5, a Nintendo Switch, and thousands of dollars in Amazon gift cards, plus more. Be sure to visit ctf.cyberdrain.com to register today.
Good morning and welcome to the January Friday the 13th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. Friday the 13th. Didn't even think about it until you just said it. Thank you very much. And the spooky music didn't help me, but yeah.
Got to watch a scary movie tonight or something. What is it? House on Haunted Hill is always one of my favorite. Vincent Price. Yeah, I mean, he's the master, right? Let me ask you, Vincent Price or Alfred Hitchcock?
I'm literally good with either.
So speaking of spooky, we have today's Friday the 13th. I thought I'd grab some Friday the 13th facts, right? So we all know, like, buildings, they don't have a 13th floor out of superstition. That's pretty common. We've seen that all over the place. But the actual, the current belief, and I had actually says research this, and this is what she found. The belief comes from the Code of Hammurabi, which reportedly left out a 13th law, but it was only an error. The translators say it was an error, but they saw it was, they just took that to start saying 13 is an unlucky number. And then they had 13 guests at the Last Supper, if you count, including, you know, the hand. And then, whatchamacallit. And then this was an interesting one I hadn't seen before. For a month to have Friday the 13th, it has to start on a Sunday. So
get out of here. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm like you. I wait till like the day of. I'm like, oh, it's Friday the 13th. That's cool. Like, now I can be like, oh, the month starts on Sunday. I can, you know, yeah. Okay,
oh,
thanks.
Unlike you, that's already evaporated. That's already evaporated. Like, I've already forgotten that. Like, by next week, I mean, I'll be like, what? What do we talk about?
Oh, no, it'll be completely gone. No, and if our MSP audience is like, you know, the peanut gallery in our green room, I'm getting from Matt Fox, that's math. Yes, I know 1 plus 13. I know that. That's, you know what? I don't want to hear this nonsense. I want some news. Tony, can you give me some news, man?
Let's jump straight into the news. My first story out of the gate, and it's kind of a Friday the 13th scary one, straight from Politico.com. Flight delays in the U.S. after the FAA outage had a 90-minute delay. This Wednesday, a computer outage at the FAA brought flights to a standstill across the U.S., with delays quickly cascading throughout systems at airports nationwide. Again, just before 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, there were nearly 1,200 delays within, into, or out of the United States. The FAA is working to restore what's known as its Notice to Air Mission Systems. Before commencing a flight, pilots are required to consult NOTAMs, which lists potential adverse impacts on flights from runway construction to the potential for icing. The system used to be telephone-based, with pilots calling dedicated flight service stations for the information, but has now moved online. Quote, we're performing final validation checks and reloading the system now, the FAA said. Operations across national airspace systems are affected. Ray, let's just talk about this really quick. Did I read correctly in that they're restoring their system to go back to telephone calls for the pilots, to call directly? Our old school practices, the way of the future.
I mean, this wasn't this exactly what like Southwest had for the last several weeks, right?
There's so many questions. Like, are the two related? Are we seeing a national Southwest component? This is like FAA related versus the airline. Is there a national hack campaign? Is old school the best way to go? Should MSPs be involved at a local level? Should all pilots just have one of those phones that just say, listen, I'm screw your system. I'm just calling you local. Talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, and it wasn't part of this story, but actually Canada has their own version of NOTAM. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. You already struggled enough with that. I'm going to avoid that pothole. But Canada has their own version of NOTAM that also had an outage on Thursday. Now it was short, and nobody knows if it was related to the FAA one, the US one. But it did happen. And, you know, one of the takeaways from the FAA one was, I saw that they had tried to restore from backup, but the backups were bad, which makes me wonder, were they not testing backups? You know, not for nothing, but like all the bad that's said about MSPs, I guarantee you an MSP would not have let that happen.
That's what I'm saying. Should MSPs be involved at the local level? Because we are having problems at a national level where they are resorting to, hey guys, you still got your cell phone? Our system is down. I mean, hey, our office phones are down. Can you use your cell phone? That's essentially what's happening. And we're talking.
If your office phone is down, you have to use a cell phone. You don't have to reschedule your flight for 2 days or 3 days. Okay, so let me take this back. Many know that I used to work at the Miami Police Department for 10 years. 10 years and one day. That's what I had to do to retire. And I supervised. Yeah, oh, and you count down to that one day, trust me. So, you know, I'm sitting there and whatchamacallit. So I was overseeing the 911 center city of Miami. And we absolutely had backup systems where you would go to cards. We had an incident where Miami-Dade County had a lightning strike and we had to field all their calls and dispatch. So, you know, their backup systems are in place. That you can give government. They have backup systems for backup systems for backup systems. That they weren't testing their backups, whatever. But, you know, I at least got to give them credit. As horrible as going to the phone sounds, if we're saying this ancient technology failed or had some issue, you have to imagine the backup strategy is also equally ancient, right? Nobody upgrades their backup strategy without upgrading the main system first. So I don't know. MSPs, tell us, you know what? I don't want to hear from you on what you think of the story. I don't care about that. I want to hear from you on how you would have solved this or why an MSP. I want the best pitch on why an MSP would not have let this happen.
I love that.
You know, okay, and
you know what it would be really cool is if they sent like just videos on, can they do videos or just emails? Maybe TikTok. Can they send a TikTok?
Ooh, TikToks. I got some for that. In my top story in the business section, TikTok CEO questioned by EU officials over reports of aggressive data harvesting and surveillance. Written by Alexander Barton for The Record. Margaret Vestager, the European Commissioner for Competition, met with TikTok CEO Shoji Chu on Tuesday. The purpose of the meeting was to establish how TikTok was preparing to comply with the new obligations the EU is bringing through its Digital Services Act and Digital Markets Act. And the TikTok chief executive sought to reassure the EU that the app would respect the bloc's strict tech rules and commitments to privacy and child safety. During the meeting, its parties discovered the GDPR, which is the General Data Protection Regulation, and matters of privacy and data transfer obligation. Shoji Chu was also asked about the recent reports of aggressive data harvesting and surveillance in the U.S. The popular app, owned by Chinese tech conglomerate ByteDance, has worked for the past 3 years to counter U.S. concerns over whether personal data of its citizens can be accessed and its contents manipulated by China's Communist Party or any other entity under Beijing's influence. Tony, I know TikTok is the bad app. I get that. It's the one that takes too much data from you. It completely overreaches, but it's got great videos. you know, no, but okay. So the EU absolutely kicks our butt when it comes to data privacy, data sovereignty, data concerns, privacy concerns. I'm only happy that a lot of what happens when a company is called to the carpet to respect EU standards generally flows to US standards as well, because they do one for all. So do you think this is promising for US citizens?
Well, first things first, I mean, we have to decide, you know, that common choice between security or simplicity. It's going to be, you know, the convenience or security. It really is that choice. It's very rare you bring the two together, at least in IT. I am not a fan of TikTok. I don't have it installed on any of my devices. I will not allow it to be installed on anyone in the household. I know enough about it to where it is dangerous, and I think a lot of that is slowly but surely going to be uncovered. That's not the issue. The issue is the constant streaming of this data to a centralized unknown location from the multitude of individuals in the United States. What is that? I think the value, was it the sum of the individual parts is greater, or the value is greater than the sum of the individual parts, I think I'm trying to say. But I'm deeply concerned with TikTok. However, with any app, there's going to be data. With any app, you're going to have your personal information on it. They're going to have access to that data. The question is, what is aggressive? And is the EU being, ironically, aggressive in judging how aggressive an app is pulling that data? I don't know. I will say they are typically ahead of us. I love their data residency laws that they have, because they just make sense. I think this could be the first step, the keystone to an avalanche of security regulation that could come down from the EU to the United States, because frankly, they're testing the waters first and see how that works out for them. But I am a fan of evolving security and security policies for the protection of the greater person. So personnel. So that's just my opinion. Long, boring. But at the end of the day, the videos are kind of cool.
No, I agree with you. I think it's and for those that don't want to install the app, and for those of you, aka, that are better than me, completely fine with it. But you know, just for the record, you can go on a private browser. You can do it from your computer without an account. So there are ways to sandbox it if you really want to see the latest memes and understand what the teaser was all about.
I'm not saying that I don't watch the videos. I'm saying I don't have it installed.
Okay, that's my fair. Devices. That's fair.
It is great. I'm concerned about that data aggregation and the almost limitless amount of data that they are able to scrape from the local devices. That's been a very big concern of mine since the genesis of the app. But it's everyone has it.
So, you know, in this world where, you know, data is currency, right? And we see it in the MSP space, we see the acquisitions, looking at TikTok, it's a free app. They're compensating the creators. It's no different than YouTube in the sense that they're using the data from the viewers to make their money, and they have the advertising, and TikTok absolutely sells the advertising as well. Do you think there's enough value there where there's a point where you'd be willing to give up some of the data in return for the services of the app, or is it just completely off the table?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm really interested to how MSPs handle their customers installing TikTok. How do they manage those security policies on a personal device where the personal device has simultaneous access to the corporation's ADP payroll system, to maybe their VPN system, and in theory, based on your operating system, you're unable to cut an SSL session. That's iOS flaw, by the way. How are those things handled? Oh, sure, install that app on that phone that has access to everything. Sure, no problem.
Yeah.
No problem.
But they're good videos. You know what, Tony? You've convinced me I shouldn't have the app. You completely schooled me. You have any other stories about school, man?
School, what is going on at school? In fact, there is something happening at school. My next story from darkreading.com, a cyber attack cancels classes for Des Moines Public Schools. The largest public school system in Iowa is slated to resume classes on Thursday, January 12th, following the detection of abnormal network activity that prompted the district to pull its systems offline. Des Moines Public Schools announced that classes would resume yesterday, Thursday, January 12th, now that the phones are operational. For the time being, students can expect a, quote, offline learning experience, the district added. Ray, I have two words and only two words for you. I think old school is the best possible process in security. I don't know if I got that right. Did I kind of hit the numbers there? Did I talk to me? Well, hold on. Before we go over, I want to point out, I want to remind everyone. Hey, pilots, I know our entire system is getting hacked. So use your cell phone to call this number when you're landing just to make sure we're cool. And hey, entire largest school district in Iowa, our system was good. We're going to have what we call an offline experience. Is that okay? An offline. It's like,
ooh, a, I like Target. That.
Yes.
That sounds like something you pay for at a spa, right?
Yes.
That's what I'm doing. That's why my 9-year-old doesn't charge a cell phone. He has an offline experience. So I also have two words. My two words are thank you. This story actually comes courtesy of Isaac Good on Discord. So thank you very much, Isaac, for proposing this.
Isaac, thanks for starting the fight. We're just angry now. Like, old school is just it.
As long as nobody's streaking, we're good, right? My boy Blue. All right. So, no, seriously speaking. So, this is strange to me because we just talked about the FAA, NOTAM, and backup procedures and calling in. And they had backup procedures. And I said the words, no government agency ever has, doesn't have a backup of a backup of a backup. And then within a matter of 10 minutes, you're making me eat my words because their go-to for Iowa is, yeah, we're going to close school. And I wonder where this comes from because I'm looking at New York. If you remember New York in September of last year, they announced no more snow days. They said with remote work from home or remote school, there's no reason to have snow days. In Florida, I've never had a snow day, so I don't care. But, you know, they had a backup plan for when things go south. I can't imagine, even with school systems offline, there's no reason kids can't go to school and still be educated. I mean, there's still books in play. I don't understand what it was that's sufficient to take the school down, to cancel
school.
You
know what I mean? So they have snow days or no snow days because, what's that? They've seen snow before. So I'm just going to throw it out there that maybe they prepared for something because they've seen it before. It's almost as though, and I may be off base here, I may be a little obtuse. It's almost as though a hack has never been seen before. Have you ever seen anyone being hacked before? Like, have you ever seen where maybe the backup just doesn't work? I don't know. Maybe that's a new thing. I've never heard of that before.
You know what I would love to see? I'd love to see. I'm all
more
about
sarcasm.
Yeah, exactly. I like to see a day where there's more sarcasm now. You know, and I say it jokingly because in Florida it rains every 30 seconds and Florida drivers still act like we don't know how to drive in the rain, which is absolutely mind boggling. I'm talking to you if you put hazards on while you're driving in the rain.
The clear liquid. Oh no. Oh no.
So, yeah, get Rain-X, people. Anyway, so no, my thing is I'm all about accountability and there's opportunities at every turn. How about recording or documenting what they were doing that brought them to this point and at what they're doing to improve it. And then use that as a lesson for the students that are going to be managing the infrastructures in the decades to come and say, hey, because we had these opportunities for improvement here, these things were left undone or whatever happened. We're now being forced to do this. And this is the actual real life practical impact of not having these things in place. And these are the things you're going to have to deal with 20 years down the line when you're in the workforce.
I love it.
I'm not an educator, but I think it would be a phenomenal education moment.
Who do you think you are? Now you're just being rational. Who do you think you, how dare you? How dare you?
I got to make up for my complete self-sabotage of the previous story. No, and you know what? So let's bring it back to MSPs. I sit on, and I know you do the same thing, I sit on advisory councils for high schools and colleges, helping them with their technical programs. Tony, I know you do the same. I want to know from MSPs, are you guys doing apprenticeship programs? Are you taking this kind of news where you can go to the students and say, even if it's in Iowa and you're in Florida or Missouri or wherever else, go into your students that you're advising on and say, this is a real life thing. This is how we can prevent it. These are the life lessons. I don't know. I think it'd be good. Let us know in the comments. Let us know in email. Let us know on Discord, please.
Thank you for now, cool story, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Isaac. Why do you say we get some notables, Tony?
Let's do it.
And my first notable mention, Trojan Puzzle Attack trains AI assistants into suggesting malicious code, written by Bill Tulis for bleepingcomputer.com. AI coding assistants feature static detection and signature-based dataset cleansing models that can identify harmful programming to prevent them from learning and reproducing it. However, researchers at the universities of California, Virginia, and Microsoft have developed a new poisoning attack, the Trojan Puzzle, that could trick AI-based coding assistants into suggesting dangerous code. The report states that malicious code can be hidden in the doc strings rather than the actual code, and then use a trigger word to activate it. Once the trigger is launched, the malicious payload will be recreated. In my second notable mention, Windows 11 KB5022303 and KB5022287 Cumulative Updates Released, written by Lawrence Abrams for Bleeping Computer. Microsoft has released the first patch Tuesday of 2023. Windows 11 KB5022303 and KB5022287 cumulative updates for versions 22H2 and 21H2 are mandatory because they will implement all fixes for the discovered vulnerabilities of the past few months. These are priority updates as they include an actively exploited vulnerability tracked with CVE-2023-21674, which was used in attacks to give threat actors and malware system privileges. According to Microsoft, the latest updates are focused on fixing security vulnerabilities and only a limited number of bugs.
And in my first notable mention from TechCrunch.com, a government watchdog spent $15,000 to crack a federal agency's passwords in minutes. The report by the Office of the Inspector General for the Department of Interior said the department's reliance on passwords as the sole way of protecting some of its most important systems and employees' user accounts has bucked nearly two decades of the government's own cybersecurity guidelines of mandating stronger two-factor authentication. To make their point, the watchdog spent less than $15,000 on building a password-cracking rig, a setup of high-performance computers several chained together with the computing power designed to take on complex mathematical tasks like recovering hashed passwords. Within the first 90 minutes, the watchdog was able to recover nearly 14,000 employee passwords, or about 16% of all of the department's accounts, including passwords like polar_bear65 and nationalparks2014. And in my next notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, MetaMask warns of new address poisoning cryptocurrency scam. Cryptocurrency wallet provider MetaMask is warning users of a new scam called address poisoning, used to trick users into sending funds to a scammer rather than the intended recipient. When MetaMask users send or receive cryptocurrency, it appears in the wallet transaction list. Clicking the transaction displays more details, including the token, the amount sent or received, and a short form of the third party's address. While both wallet addresses look identical in their short form, they could be completely different, easily confusing MetaMask users. And jumping into the calendar, get ready to learn and grow with these upcoming community events. January 17th to the 19th, an in-person event, 7-figure MSP sales and marketing live in Phoenix, Arizona. On January 18th, an in-person event, Next Gen MSP Local in Tampa, Florida. Also on January 18th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Build It Better. MSP discussion presented by Everything MSP. And here's what we have coming up in the MSP Media Network. Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network. On January 19th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Tech Bar Podcast, episode number 50 with Tim Golden. And finally, on January 25th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Partner First, how to implement a cybersecurity policy process.
So I'm here with Tim Golden, the next feature guest on the Tech Bar. Now, this is a special episode. We're participating in Dry January.
This is great because, you know, I don't drink anymore. So I'm looking forward to coming to this. And don't worry, Simon, I'll bring milk for you.
There you go.
Today, I'm joined by Mr. Mendy Green and Kyle Spooner. Mendy, what's happening next year, man?
Next year, we are hosting our very first in-person conference called MSP GeekCon, and it's going to be amazing.
It is going to be amazing. This is a conference unlike any other you will have come across, but it also marks a very special anniversary for Geek.
MSP Geek was founded in May of 2013. So during this conference in May of 2023, it will be our 10th anniversary.
MSP GeekCon is the first that it's focused entirely on the tech, but also the tech's evolution over time.
It's going to be a conference where we have specifically focused it around learning for the technician in this case. We are doing it around a journey, specifically the journey of a technician going from tier one to tier three. So if you're a tier three technician doing it already, you will have a clear understanding of what it is that you're doing instinctively, and you'll be able to do it better, on demand, immediately, more efficiently. And if you're a tier one, tier two, and you're growing, then this is the path that you need to start thinking in order for you to grow into that tier three role.
The link is below, mspgeekcon.com, but if there's something you want to see at MSP GeekCon, hit up Kyle or Mendy or any of the admins on Geek and let them know we want to see this at the conference. With that said, I hope to see everybody at MSP GeekCon. Until May, I'll see you guys later. Woo! So how did you like today's show and our bloopers? If you liked it, hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it three times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we get stories like our story from Isaac Good talking about Iowa school system? We have so much more. Go ahead and hit the link. Go join us. We want to talk to you. And you can even vote on which stories we'll cover. And as my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. We're also on TikTok. And have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, we lived, we laughed, we blooped.
So much blooping.
We blooped so damn hard. I mean,
Friday the 13th, everyone.
We are the hardest working blooping. I'm trying not to. I was going to go a bad direction.
All right. Blippity blappity bloop. Let's wrap this up.
That's production. Everyone, Friday the 13th. Be safe today. Have an amazing weekend. And wait till next week. We have awesome stuff happening.
Take care of yourselves and each other, people.
Be all safe.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
All right, let me do my intro real quick. I can't laugh too hard because the glasses will fall off.
I completely, let me, here we go. I'll just do the, this Wednesday. This Wednesday, a computer outage at the Farfadnugan.
Dunham.
Okay. We started early and right, here we go.
It's Friday the 13th. We're going to say it's just bad, you know, bad juju.
It's Friday the 13th. Okay. Okay. Pilots are required to consult NOTAM, that's Notice to Air Mission Systems, or which is the FAA. Come on, Friday the 13th.
The FAA.
Okay, I'm coming in. Hold on, here we go, here we go.
So in my, I knew I wasn't going to get past it. I knew there was no way, if you struggled that much, there was no way I was going to have any kind of grace whatsoever.
Okay, poor Phil.
I didn't even get to the second word.
You didn't even get it. You, like, literally 1 foot. And I was like, oh, okay. Well,
it's like speaking through Jell-O underwater. Jesus. All right. All right. Margrethe Vestager, the European Commission for Competition, met with TikTok's chief executive, Xiaoqi. Shaozi, Okay, Tony, help me here, dude. I help you on the words Shao Zi Chu.
Okay, just hit Shao Zi Chu. Final time, January 13th. Or is it Friday the 13th? I don't even know. See, look at it. It's so bad. I can't even say it.
Today, classes resumed yesterday, Thursday, January 12th. No?
Yes.
Yes. Here we go. Thank you. Gosh, I need a mat crutch. Here we go. Des Moines Public Schools announced today. God.
The irony of reading comprehension problems on a school story. Just saying.
My hypocrisy is boundless. Okay.
The only thing that would have made it better is if this was hooked on phonics. That's, I mean, it's fantastic.
Here we go. Yesterday. Okay. While both wallet addresses look identical in their short form, they could be completely different, easily confusing. Well, last time. I think my mouth is at its end of mechanical capabilities. Okay, here we go.
It's a me, a Mario. There we go. You're muted.
Hey, that's mine, not yours.